Bibles and turn somewhere. I'm in Proverbs 24. I know you have everything opened up, as you usually do, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but that will be later. Now, here's how it works as I'm thinking about this. Like, three of the Maholics, like Bob, Marty, and... okay, I can't think of your name up there doing this. Abby, thank you. You can leave for half the sermon, but you got to come back for the second half, okay? Because you've kind of heard half this sermon, okay? We'll do that. Those who went to the monthly Bible conference out at Orviston, my parents would be there. Carol and Susan, were you out there? Melinda, you were out there, were you not? Gail, you were out there, or whatever. You can pretty much leave for the whole thing, okay? Okay, because you heard the sermon, but I preached it out there, and I, again, as Mrs. Yost was talking, and she said, oh, what about that sermon? I didn't preach this here. The reason why half the sermon for the Maholics, because you're going to realize half the sermon was inspired by Matt Herbster when we were down on the senior trip. And then I've added to it from there, so I will give Matt some credit. When I try to do this when I steal a sermon from somebody, I do give credit. But he preached the entire sermon, I added to it. Doesn't mean that my sermon's going to be any longer, however. We'll just do that, okay? But again, as we go here, I called it get up, but again, I just start the sermon with the worst thing a Christian can do is quit. Okay? Now, the worst thing that can ever happen to anybody in this world is to die without Christ. But once you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the worst thing you can do as a Christian is to quit on the Christian life. Okay? Christians should not be quitters. And in fact, we ought to be so resolved to this Christian life that if it leads us to the stake, if it leads us to the cross, if it leads us to some type of execution for our faith, we ought not quit, and we all go all the way. We should be faithful even unto death. We ought not quit. There should be nothing that makes us quit on our Christianity. So the worst thing a Christian can do is quit. Father, I pray you might be with us. Lord, help us to realize that we live in a world that, again, is more and more against Christianity. And the world's probably not going to put us to death yet, again, here in America. But, Lord, they're going to do other things to try to get us to quit on our Christianity, lawsuits and suing us and things like that. Lord, I pray that we'll not quit and we'll stay strong. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Proverbs 24, again, talks about the verse that I want to go. But the other thing I have, it's always too early to quit. It's always too early to quit. I don't care. Maybe I just do this. Put it up there. Look at your watch. Okay? And whenever you look at your watch, just remember, it's too early to quit. Hang on another day. Okay? Just keep on. Keeping on. Don't ever just call it quits and say, well, maybe on Sunday I'll quit. No. It's too early to quit on Sunday. Keep going another day. Keep going another couple hours, okay? When you just think you can't go any further, just keep going a little bit further. It's too early to quit because the worst thing a Christian can do is quit. Again, Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. Okay? Now, folks, I'm going to put that verse up there for a minute. I really want you to look at it. Okay? A just man falleth seven times, rises up again. We're seeing it, are we not? A just man. I'm not preaching to sinners this morning right now. I'm not preaching to sinners. I'm preaching to who? People that have justified by Jesus Christ. Okay? And again, I'm going to put it up there and give you other terms, okay? And again, I spoke on Wednesday night about the word good. Sometimes when we preach on the word good, it's not good. Because if you think you can get to heaven by being good, you're mistaken. You can't. But as a Christian, we ought to be categorized as good people. Am I right about that? We ought to be good people. And so when I put up there a just man, a Christian, a good Christian man, okay? And again, these are more generic words when you see the word man. Again, a good Christian person falls seven times. It'll happen, folks. It'll happen. And what I'm talking about falling is you're going to do something wrong. You're going to sin. You're going to fall into something. Now, I like the word that it says fall. I'd rather it not be jump. Is everybody with me or whatever? Because jump usually means there's some kind of intent behind it. Am I right about that? But the word fall kind of means didn't plan on doing it, but it happened. But there are, and there always are, and it's all of us here. We are good Christians. We want to live for Jesus. We want to serve Him. and we're going to fall. Okay? We're going to fall. Again, I put this picture up here of a man. I don't think he intended on falling, did he not? Again, if I was going down to the ground, I wouldn't have my suit on. I wouldn't be carrying my books. I wouldn't have, is that a cup of coffee? Hey, I'm not worried about the coffee. You can spill the coffee. Some of you are like, oh, what a waste of a cup of coffee, okay? I'm not a coffee drinker. But again, a good man, okay? And then he fell. We're all going to fall, okay? We're all going to fall. Again, that's where he should have been, standing up straight. But he fell. Now, as we go through this world, we're going to have problems because from time to time, we're going to fall. So again, I'm going to give you reality number one, okay? Reality number one, you will fall, okay? Now, if you all of a sudden say, well, but Pastor, I'm a mature Christian. I'm a strong Christian. The verse did say what? A just man. You are defining yourself as a person that's going to fall. I wish I could say from this day forward that I will never fall into sin. I won't sin. I won't have a problem with sin. But that's not true. Okay? I'm going to fall. You can plan on it. You're going to take a fall somewhere. Now, again, this is you. This is your fault. When this fall takes place, you got nobody to blame for it. It's just you. And you fell. Again, I put up here, a just man. That's you and me. That is you and me. Okay? We're going to fall. I wish we wouldn't. I wish we wouldn't sin. I wish whatever sins beset us and take hold of us, whether it's anger or jealousy, lying, I wish these things wouldn't get us in the future, but they are. Okay? I like that it says there in the verse, again, a just man falls seven times. And I know somebody says, so otherwise, once I count the seven, I'm all done? No. Okay? This is how I like to define it. What is the number that you use when there's something that you do a good bit of the time? What's the number that you pick? I'm going to give you my number. 10. Okay? It's not literal. It's just a number that I give that it's big, okay? The illustration I give for this, and it happened a while ago, but I remember it was right around my birthday. In fact, I think it was March 30th, the day before my birthday, as I was headed down into Bellefonte to get a pizza, okay? My wife said, hey, we got this coupon from the pizza shop. Why don't you go get a pizza? She called it in. 15 minutes later, you know, you're driving down there to get it. And I drive down there, get to Buckaroo Lane at the Weiss Market, my favorite intersection in this world, okay? And I go down there, and I get stopped at the first red light going down there. And then I moved to the second red light and got stopped at the second red light. So I'm sitting there at the ramp where it comes down from Route 99. And as the light turns green, there was a number of us there because it was around supper time, traffic, with a little bit of traffic. And as we moved forward, a person came down off the ramp and forgot to yield. And as our group of traffic got up there, the case came right down and slammed into the side of a car. Now, I was over in the left lane, two cars back. Okay, well, I was the second car, so I was watching that car. I saw the car coming down. I was yelling, okay? I mean, I saw it coming, and all of a sudden, kaboom, right into the side of the car. All the traffic kind of stops, and the guy in front of me went on, and those cars kind of make their way to the side. I made my way to the side. I was kind of, nobody else got over, but I got over with them. I checked the cars to make sure everybody was okay or whatever, you know, and making sure it was okay. And the lady got out of the passenger side of the car who caused the accident, okay? And she said, did we hit you? And I said, no, that's a deer that did that. you hit the car up there, okay? You hit the car up there. And she says, well, I can't believe you pulled right out in front of us. I was like, oh, my, okay? You know, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I was there, and I said to the lady who was in the car that got hit, you need to call the police. Okay, you need to get a record of this and everything. And I said, I got a busy night, and I'm here. You're all okay. The police are coming or whatever. I'm going to move on because I've got a meeting tonight. But here is my name and phone number, and I'm writing it twice. Give the other one to the police. You have this one. I feel you're going to need my help in the future. Okay, so I did that. And sure enough, I said to her, have the policeman call me. If he wants me to come back to the scene, I'll come back. or whatever. Well, I don't know what it was, but an hour later, the policeman called me, you know, and he said, hey, it looks pretty straightforward to me. Just confirm what I'm thinking here. And I said, yeah, we were stopped at the light. So if they were say we were speeding, we weren't speeding. You know, we were just coming off the traffic light. We might have been going 20, 25 miles an hour. Speed limit's 45. That car just came straight down, never yielded, just slammed right into the side of that Ford. And that's exactly how it happened. He goes, you know, I'm just confirming. He says, it's pretty easy to tell or whatever. Thank you for your time, okay? A little while later, I get a call from an insurance man. And he said, and the first thing I said, just before I answer any questions, who are you representing? He goes, I'm representing the car that came down off the ramp. And I said, well, you don't stand a chance on this one. Okay? Your person is absolutely guilty. Okay? And he's like, well, I still need to ask you questions. He asked me a bunch of questions, and I seem to know the answers, okay? He asked me questions that I didn't even like. He's the guy who asked me the question, so were you drinking up at the home delivery pizza before you came down the road? And I said, sir, I just turned 58 years old and I haven't had a drink yet. And he was like really quiet. And then I said, and what was the name of your insurance agency? Because I'm sure I don't want anybody having insurance with you. And he was like really quiet. And then he said, so how many times do you go, see, I know where I am. How many times do you go through this intersection a day? What was the number I gave him? Somebody tell me, what was the number I gave him? 10. I don't know how many times I go through this intersection a day. But can I tell you that on some days, I go through that intersection, what? 10 times. I just live here, and pretty much any business, anything I do from my house, which way do I go first? I head down through that intersection. Bellefonte's that way. This church is that way. The school is that way. Shopping is that way. Everything I do. It's amazing that when I come to the end of Hastings Road, the road I live on, I don't ever turn left. I just hardly ever turn left. So if somebody would say, how many times do you turn left? 10. A year, maybe. But I turn it more than 10 times to the right. I mean, everything I do is to the right. So when he said, how many times do you go through this intersection a day? I was like, 10. And folks, I started counting from that. Can I tell you? That's a good answer. It really is a good answer. If you say, well, Pastor, you don't go through the intersection 10 times a day. Yeah, I do. You know, but sometimes not, sometimes more, sometimes what? Right on it. So when the number is 7 given here, the reason why I don't have a number in there is because you fill in the blank. Okay, if you were to say, you know what, I'm a sinner. Okay, maybe we might put in there 7 times 70. We're going to fall, folks. We're going to fall. You might say 7 equals daily. We don't always do things right. We get upset. Things don't go our way. And again, we're just looking here. What do you think about that? Again, Job 5:19. Again, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. And so again, it's a number in the Bible that is used to represent, you know, not just a specific number, but God is there. God is faithful. God will deliver you. And I'm so glad that Job 5:19 is there so that when I fall, my God is there to pick me up. But again, 7 times is what we might fall there. Again, I put down here, the Bible is full of people who fell. It's full of people who fell. Now, I'm going to put some up there, but are you going through your mind right now? Give me some good people in the Bible. And you don't, if you want to answer out loud, you can. But give me some good people in the Bible who fell. David. Moses wasn't a perfect guy, was he? How did Elijah do? What about the New Testament? Peter. I mean, we're just following through. There's people that didn't do real good. So, I think I have a list here, do I not? Again, there are some people here that were good people. Live for God. I mean, a lot of these people made their way into Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Am I right about that? But they fell. So I'm not here to preach Christian perfection. Okay? I'm not here to say we need to start a church that's just full of good Christians that never fall. We want to be good Christians, but we fall, and we do things wrong. So again, I'm back to reality number one. Are you with me on it, right? What's reality number one? We're going to fall, okay? Now, I'm talking to you, but also make sure you understand that you build up some perseverance for other people. Because you're going to fall, but so are other people. How are you going to treat them when they do? Good thought, isn't it? We fall. We sin, do we not? So reality number one, you will fall. Let me move on to the next one if I can do that. Okay? Response number one. Okay? If you got a reality number one, let's go to response number one. What is it? Get up. Get up. I like this, and again, I thought about this because when Matt Herbster was preaching down at the Wilds, something happened to me at the Wilds that kind of went along with his sermon, and I was kind of laughing about it and told something about it. And I think to this day, the same truth is there. I think the last time I fell, I'm talking about physically fell, was at the Wilds. Okay? I took a fall at the Wilds. Now, at the Wilds, if you remember, it was back in April, okay, going right into May. And I remember that when I got back on Friday night, the next day I was going to go run a half marathon. Okay? So when I was at the Wilds, I had to do some exercising. I didn't want to spend a whole week not doing anything, so I did running. And the Wilds is a really good place to run uphill, if you've ever been there. I mean up. And they have this, it used to be they had a staircase that went up the thing. Now they have this beautiful staircase, and it has decking to it and everything. So if you go halfway and you're tired, you can sit down. So I just figured that, you know, when I'm by myself, not when I'm in a group, but when I'm by myself, I'm going to run up steps. Every time I have a chance to go to the dining hall, I'm going to run up. Every time I have to go up to the Moose Room for meetings, I'm going to run up, okay? I'm just going to run and try to keep building myself because I know I got to be in shape when Saturday comes along. So I'd run. Well, sure enough, I was running up the steps, and left foot didn't get up over the step on one time. Somebody tell me what happened. I fell. Okay. What's the first thing I did when I fell? I looked around. Wanted to see if anybody saw me. Kind of embarrassing, is it not, or whatever. Kind of looked around. But watch this. I fell. Let's say a little while later, the Mahalics, heading where I'm heading. They come up the steps. They're walking up the steps, and they see me lying down there. What happened? I fell. Are you okay? Yeah. Well, you hurt? No. Well, why are you there? Now, are you starting to figure this through? When you fall, just regular, we expect that unless you're really, really hurt or something like that, you what? You get up. Getting up from a fall is what we really want to see happen. Okay? Sometimes we can. I understand. People getting hurt, and I've seen, you know, serious hurts come to people that fall. I understand that. But what if I said, you know what? I was headed on the way to the dining common. Bob, could you go up and get me a plate of food and bring it down here? Well, there's, you know, and now watch. Now, he's not going to say, well, of course, if there's nothing wrong with you, I'd love to do that. Okay? I think I'm going to spend the rest of the week right here. I fell. I'm not getting up. See, most of us understand if you take a fall, you get up. But somehow when we go into the Christian life, when we get into the spiritual world, it's almost like we take a fall and what do we say? That's it. I'm done. Not going to do that again. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I do know that after I got up and went on and whatever, the next time I was going to climb those stairs, I was going to do it this time without falling. It was a challenge for me. You know, I bet you somebody said, well, I bet you walked up the stairs from then on. No. No, I didn't run up when I was with other people, because that's not. But when I was by myself, and I kind of chuckled the next time, well, let's see if I can do this without falling this time or whatever. And sure enough, I redeemed myself, and I was able to do it. Okay? But again, I think we got to watch in the spiritual world just because we fall into sin or we do something that we don't want to do. And again, we fall into transgression. We don't just say, that's it. I'm done. Folks, we're not done. It's time to get up. Because a just man falleth seven times. Did you hear the rest of that verse? And riseth up again. You get up. We're going to make mistakes. You get up. We're at the place where we've had grandchildren that are learning to ride two-wheelers. Okay? What happens to young people when they're first starting to ride two-wheelers? They fall. Okay? What is sometimes the first thing that they want to do once they fall? Let's put the training wheels back on. And what do we say as adults? Nope. We're going to get right back on the bike. Let's do it again. Okay? Other wheel. Otherwise, how many of you, if you saw me going down the road on my bike and saw training wheels on it, would say, that's normal. Yeah, I fell when I was 5 years old. I fell once. Never going to do it again. you get up. You get up. What's the old adage? Get back on the horse. Am I right about that? Again, you get up. I just have a couple verses here. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Admit it. Okay? I fell. I sinned. It's wrong. And ask for God to forgive you. And He absolutely will He not? Psalm 37:24. Again, God will pick you up. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall, it's not over. Okay? God will pick you back up and get you going again. Get you back where you need to be. Get you running again. I use my life verse, Isaiah 40:31. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So I just kind of capitalize that. Get back in the air. Okay, man, I was soaring. Then I took a crash. Get back in the air. Okay? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So I just kind of put that as a summary. What's the time to do? Get back to speed. Yeah? Yeah, I was running. I was walking. I tripped, took a fall. Okay, you did. Get up. Get back to speed. Okay? Get back on it. Let's go here. We got to do this. We can do this, okay? I tell people one of the questions that is asked sometimes, and I think the answer is very obvious. Because notice, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Again, though you fall down, again, God will basically uphold you with His hand. He'll get you back to soaring if you wait upon Him. He'll get you back to running or walking, whatever your speed is. He'll get you back to speed. That's what He does. And yeah, I've had people ask this question. I just don't understand it. When David was the king, and he fell into that sin, and he committed adultery, and he murdered somebody, why didn't God just get rid of him? The answer is really easy, folks. We serve a gracious God. Do you realize that? People fall. God picks them up. So if you ever come to David again and say, I just don't understand why David was still the king and why God still let him be there. Because we serve a gracious God. And when we sin, He helps us get back on our feet. You know what? If every man in the Bible did something wrong and God just immediately got rid of him, what kind of stories would we have? Okay, the whole stories of Moses would have been gone, right? There would be no stories about Moses. Okay, I think a lot of the great hymns that David wrote, they wouldn't be here, Psalms. They'd be gone if God just got rid. Look at Peter. Folks, he preached his greatest sermons and wrote his books after his sin. Because we serve a great God. And it doesn't say that when you fall, I will keep you down and you're done. I will pick you up. I'll forgive you. I'll pick you up. I'll get you back to speed. Is what we're going to do. I like this because I like the picture that I found then. We got to look to Jesus. Okay? I just like that picture. No, keep your eyes on Jesus. I took a fall. I need to get back to speed. Yeah, get back in the race. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I preached this last week, did I not? Men who fell like we do. Get back in the race. Keep your eyes on Jesus and don't you stop until you cross the finish line where He's waiting for you. Don't stop. The worst thing a Christian can do is quit. Again, I like this one, Galatians 6:9. Again, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Okay? Basically, God says, keep working. Be not weary in well-doing. Keep it up. Oh, I tried to do my best, but I didn't. It's okay. Get back in there. Because there's more fruit to pick, folks. There's people out there that you need to reach for Christ. And if you don't reach them for Christ, the story may be there's nobody else that can. Does that make sense to you? I am so convinced, okay, that when it comes to leading people to Christ, I can't lead everybody to Christ. I can talk to them and give them the gospel, but I can't lead them to Christ. They need like a personal contact like you to be the person who gives them the gospel. There's more fruit to pick. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, things didn't work out right. You need to get back in there because there's more work to do for Jesus. God's got something for you to do. Yeah, you sinned, you messed up, whatever. Get back to speed. Get back into the ministry. Get back to talking to people about Jesus because there's more fruit to pick. So again, we're going to sin. It's not over. Get back working for Jesus. Let's go on. Now the Maholics need to come back. Okay? Reality number two, if I can give this to you. Reality number two, you will get knocked down. Now, here's the difference. When you fall, that's on you. Okay? You sinned. You fell in the temptation. You getting knocked down, this is what other people do to you. There are people that will knock you down. Okay? I mean, me tripping on that step, kind of running up the steps at the Wilds, that's different than if somebody was kind of hiding beside. And again, if you saw the steps and the decks, maybe it's possible for somebody to hide under one of the decks. And as I go running by, what do? They reach out and grab my leg. And what happens? I fall. That's different than falling, as I'm putting it that way, and getting knocked down. I got it. I think I have a neat picture for this one. Okay? You're going to get knocked down. Okay? Now, I was looking at that. I don't know who the fighters are. I don't know who they are. But the guy dressed in blue, he's kind of happy he knocked this guy down. Can I say that there are people in this world that be happy if they could knock you down? If they could get you to trip up in your Christian life, they'd be happy to do it if they could figure out a way to trip you up. Okay? The devil would be the top one on the list, would it not be? He wants you to fall. He wants you to go down. And they're looking for it. Again, reality number two. I guess if I push the button again, it'll come up there, will it not? Reality number two. You will get knocked down. There are people that are going to deliver some good punches on you. And some of the punches will hit hard enough. You're going to get knocked down. It's going to hurt. Okay? Now, again, as I just go through this, okay, I want to make sure you understand that even if you're what I call a super Christian, you're going to get knocked down. These are verses, again, that Nate read for us. Again, who wrote these verses? Paul. He talked about being knocked down, almost knocked out, perplexed, just a lot of things. And so I put down here, getting knocked down even happens to super Christians. Am I right about that? I don't know. In my lifetime, okay, I've seen what I thought were some pretty fantastic boxers, okay? Boxing's not as big as it used to be, but I remember being around and watching some pretty amazing boxers. Even these really amazing boxers, I've seen them get knocked down, okay? Now, no endorsement for any of them or whatever, but I remember as a little kid when Cassius Clay fought Sonny Liston. I remember this. Sonny Liston had muscles that were just like unbelievable. This Sonny Liston, this guy was an ox of a man. I mean, he was huge. And Cassius Clay, though he was a heavyweight, really didn't have big muscles. Anybody remember this? Are you old enough to remember this? He really wasn't that big of a guy. Okay? And I watched Cassius Clay destroy Sonny Liston. And I remember saying, then, this Cassius Clay, he's an amazing fighter. Then Sonny Liston and him got another rematch. And wasn't it there where Sonny Liston just, after a round or two, he just retired. He goes, look, I'm not going back out. That guy is killing me. And I can remember Cassius Clay. Man, he's probably the greatest boxer that's ever been around. Okay, I remember, I don't know if it was my junior or senior year, but Cassius Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And he fought Joe Frazier. And everybody said to me, who's going to win? I said, well, I'd like to see Joe Frazier win because he's from Philadelphia. But there is no way Joe Frazier can beat Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali. He did. He knocked him down. I couldn't believe it. Okay? And then I thought, well, Joe Frazier's the greatest fighter in the world. And then he fought George Foreman. He got knocked down six times in two rounds. Does anybody remember these fights? Am I the only one that remembers it? Okay? And then this guy comes along. His name's Mike Tyson. Nobody can even last one round against him. Am I right about this? People can't even stay in the round for a minute. I'm like, this guy is going to be the forever heavyweight champion. Who's ever going to take him out? All of a sudden, he fights a guy we've never heard, Buster Douglas. Somebody tell me what happened. Buster Douglas knocked him out. Knocked him out. I don't even know how that happened, okay? Now, you're saying, Pastor, what are you talking about boxing for? Folks, it doesn't matter how good you are. There is somebody that can take you out. Am I right about that? And if you say, well, I'm a super Christian, nobody's knocking me down, watch out. Take heed lest you fall. Okay? Even Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, things happen to us that just knocked us out. But as you read that passage that Nate read, but not forsaken. What's it mean? We got knocked down. We got hit real hard. We're back on our feet. We're back on our feet. Again, you can see here that, you know what, you can be a super Christian and think you got a relationship with the Lord and nobody can ever take me out. Yes, somebody can. It's a reality, folks. Somebody will do something. It'll make you think somewhere along the line, why am I trying to live the Christian life? It's just not worth it. Because if I wasn't living the Christian life, these people wouldn't be throwing punches at me. They wouldn't be doing that. Matthew 5:39, if somebody hits you on one cheek, what are you supposed to do? Folks, because once they throw the one, they're going to throw a combination. They're coming at you again. Okay? Somebody's going to take a good shot at you, but they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop till you're down. Okay? Watch out. You again, they throw the right, they throw the left. So again, if they smite you on the right cheek, turn left. Now, I go back to this. So somebody knocks you down. What do? Get up. Get up. You ever been knocked out in this Christian life, just thought, boy, I'm done? Have you ever just thought, boy, I don't know if I want to live the Christian life anymore? I tell people, I have different stories that I've told people or whatever. I've had different stories that I've told different places along the line. But as a pastor, I can't believe some of the hits that people have taken at me. I tell a different one, because some have heard one story. But I remember years ago, right? And this is a number of years ago, because my daughter was in ninth grade, if I remember correctly. But she sang in a group for the Massachusetts Association of Christian Schools. She sang in a girls' group. There was four of them. And they won the Massachusetts Association of Christian Schools championship, first place. And because they won, because Massachusetts is still part of the, again, American Association of Christian Schools, you get to go to the national competition in South Carolina. Pennsylvania, they don't do that anymore. But in Massachusetts, they still do it. Now, what was really neat is you have to be in 10th or 11th or 12th grade to go to the national competition. However, they make a rule that if you sing in a group as a ninth grader and the group qualifies as a ninth grader, you can go. Okay? So my daughter sings in a group. They qualified to go. And I was like, this is amazing. Because I'd been there, well, with the quiz teams and preaching, and there's artwork that went down. And, you know, some of you know at the academy, when we used to go down there, we had national champions, did we not? Number of national champions, and we did well. Quiz team, we never won the national championship. But and we do well. And I said, boy, this is a chance to go and take my daughter down here, okay, to the national competition. It'll be a real good experience for her. So we met with the three other girls. They were all seniors. And said, you know what, you guys have never gone to this national competition. It's an amazing thing to do. You want to go. Amanda Cruz was one of the girls, okay? And a lot of people know Miss Cruz. She taught at the academy. She was one of the girls. And I said, this is so exciting. You know, we get to go to the national competition or whatever. And one girl in the group said, I'm not going. I was like, well, if you don't go, the three of them can't go because you qualified as a quartet. You have to go. And I said, here's the thing. It is Saturday. You just won the Massachusetts championship. We have to have your forms postmarked and in the mail on Monday. If they are postmarked after Monday, you can't be in the competition. So please, you want to do this, okay? I went to her parents and said, we really have this exciting opportunity to go. And they go, well, we don't know if we can pay for it. I said, money's not a problem. I'll pay for the whole thing. I'll pay for the whole thing. Not a problem. I said, our church will pay for some of it. We'll have the girls come and sing special music or whatever. We'll take an offering for them. Money's not a problem. So I looked at her. So money's not a problem. You want to go? No, I don't want to go. I said, well, would you pray about it tonight? And tomorrow let me know, because if you want to go, we got to postmark it and get in the mail on Monday. So Sunday comes, contact her with them on Sunday, because the girl was in our church. And I said, do you want to go? No, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I was like, really? I said, can I call you on Monday? Yeah, but it won't do any good. I'm not going. The other three girls are just heartbroken. So I was like, okay, called on Monday. Nope, not going. Monday went, all over. Wednesday night, she comes running to me at prayer meeting. I changed my mind. I talked to somebody who'd been to the national competition. They said it's an absolutely fantastic thing. I want to go. It's too late. It's too late. Can't go. Deacons called a special meeting about a week later. Her dad was on the deacon board. We want to know why you didn't go to the national competition, because my daughter wanted to go and you refused to take her. I'm like, oh my. And they think, some of us are thinking of bringing you up to vote you out as pastor of the church, being so cruel to people in the church that they want to do something with all their heart and you don't want to take them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I wrote a resignation. The only thing I've ever done with resignations, though, is I just say I'm going to hold them for a week before I turn them in. Anybody with me on that? I wrote a resignation. This is insane. Why am I going to pastor people like this? This is so untrue. And yet when people tell a false story, they'll believe them over the truth, even though I got people to back me up. I didn't turn it in, but folks, I got knocked down. Anybody with me on that? That hurt really bad. You know, what I really felt bad for was somebody like Amanda Cruz. She was a senior. There were no other opportunities for her to ever go to this national competition. The neat thing about it, my daughter was only in what grade? 9th grade. She got to go back 3 more times. She qualified as a 10th, 11th, and 12th grader. Okay? So she got to go 3 more times, but somebody else never got to go, and it all got thrown on me that I would not take these girls. I got knocked down. Now, you might look at me and say, well, Pastor, you ought to be stronger than that. That hurts, folks. That hurts. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm a super Christian, and you can criticize me any way you want, and it just deflects off of me, and it doesn't hurt at all. Man, it hurts. And you think, you know what? Why am I doing this? I want to quit. You know what I tell you? Response number one. Go back to response number one. What's response number one? Get up. Yeah, I got knocked down. Yeah, it hurt. But you know what? You get up. And you get back in the ministry. You get back on your feet. You get God's help and you get back the speed. And that's what you do. So get up. Okay? We're all going to get knocked down. Somebody's going to hit us really hard and is going to knock us down. However, I want to go to response number two. Can I do that? Okay? But I do like these verses. Bob Jones Sr. said of Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, check your bulletin, it's on the top of your bulletin. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I think it's if thou faint, but I say you. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Bob Jones Sr. said, test your character is what it takes to stop you. This is his most favorite quote. Most favorite. It's the most favoritest quote he has. Thank you, English teacher. Okay, this is my most favorite quote that he had. I love this. My favorite. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. A test to your character. What does it take to stop you? Do you know? And can I tell you, in certain areas, I know what it takes to stop me. Okay, I do. There are certain things in life that I know what it takes to stop me. For example, if you put me on a bench press, I can pretty much give you how many pounds stop me. Okay? I know. Because if you put a certain poundage on a bench press, I can't lift it. Okay? I'd like to tell you that it's 550 pounds, but it's way under that. Okay? But I know how much I can bench press. But I know what I can't bench press. So there are certain things in life that stop me. But when it comes to Christianity, what is it going to take to stop you? I hope the answer is what? Not even death is going to stop. I'm going to go all the way. No matter what happened. Do whatever you want to do. I'm going all the way. Best I can with the Lord's help. Again, what's it take to stop you? I hope it's just not somebody makes us. And by the way, if I were to turn my resignation in and quit, you might look at me and say what? An accusation like that made you quit? Really? It should have been something bigger than that. Right? Am I right about that? So I tell people, well, I do know that's not going to stop me. Okay? Get back on it. Get back on the horse. Get back to the ministry or whatever. But I want to go to response number two. Okay? Here's response number two. I want you to understand this. If you are standing on your feet and you have not fallen right as of right now, if you are not knocked down at the present time and you're up, and you're up to speed, you're soaring for God, you're running and you're not weary, you're walking and not faint. I mean, you are running the race, you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, you're looking at the finish line, and things are going well for you. Response number two. Folks, look around and see who's knocked down right now. Go find somebody who's knocked down, and what should you do? Go help them get up. Okay? You know, I mean, if somebody just says, well, Pastor, you weren't preaching me today because, man, my Christian life, everything's going well. I mean, it's been years since I've sinned and fallen that way. I don't think you're telling me the truth. Okay? And I haven't had anybody knock me down lately. I'm doing really good. So my answer is, so what are you doing? Look around and see who you can help. I think if I push the button, I got this picture. I think it's the neatest picture. No, not the neatest, but there's probably something neater than that, but it's really neat. Okay? That's a pretty good picture, folks. Picture worth 1,000 words? You look at those two guys. What should those two guys be doing, really? They should be sitting in a chair somewhere, in a wheelchair somewhere. They should be sitting in a wheelchair somewhere feeling sorry for themselves. I don't know what happened to these men. I just found the picture. I don't know the history. You know, somebody has no time. You have nothing to do in life this week. Go research his picture and find out who these guys are. I don't know. They could have been servicemen that served over in the Middle East. Am I right about that? They could have been in a Humvee that was hit by a bomb. Am I right about that? They could have given up on life, but you know what? Somewhere in their past, these guys got knocked down. But they're up and moving. And it seems to me that this one guy here, and I can't tell, but I think he may have a good leg over there. I'm not sure. But somewhere along the line in this race, something happened and he fell down, right? Though the other guy was still up on his feet. What's that mean? Though he's still up and running, he took time to do what? Pick the guy up. I hope that picture just puts itself into your mind there, okay? And you just realize here that basically, you know what? Though I'm still on my feet, though I'm still moving forward for God, your job right now is find other people that are down. Get them up. Do whatever it takes to get them up. Okay? I mean, I even thought about this. I don't even know what's on the bottom of these guys' feet or whatever those things are. But this guy could have said, you know, if I bend down to pick you up, I might slide off and fall down, then we'll both be down. Right? Nope. I'm picking this guy up. Okay? Again, our response is, we need to help people get up. Again, we're not supposed to do. Galatians 6:1. Again, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But again, you don't go high and mighty. Somebody fell. Go help them up. Go help them up. You're up and doing fine right now. You're doing great. Your job is to find somebody else who's down right now and pick them up. I like Ecclesiastes 9:10. Two are better than one, right? Because they have, again, good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. One of them falls. Two are better than one. Again, so, again, we pick people up. Again, we lift people up. Again, Romans 15:1 then says that, again, you're strong, we should bear the infirmities. That's not just like pick them up, lift them up, and then go, all right, you're on your own. Maybe when you pick somebody up, you might have to carry them for a while. So you understand, pick them up, lift them up, but now you need to carry them for a little while. And again, I do have a good story about somebody that didn't just pick somebody up. It's Luke chapter 10. Do you know what the story is? It's the Good Samaritan. He didn't just pick that guy up. Okay? I mean, when he was going along there, again, he found the guy along the road, and pictures are worth a lot. It's more than just getting him up. It's more than getting him up. Again, he saw that guy along the road, stripped naked, half dead, two other men passed by. You see that? Okay? You know the story, do you not? And I'm not even doing the Good Samaritan part. That's not the point of what I'm talking about. He saw this guy down and out. Tell me what he did. Did he just pick him up, give him a pat on the rump, and say, get back on your feet? No, he didn't. Somebody tell me what he did. He did a whole lot more than that. Okay? He did a whole lot more. I think the next picture describes it, does it not? He put him on his own horse, I think. Carried him to an inn. Talked to the innkeeper and said, man, you take care of this guy. I think he'll be better in a day or two. But if the money I have given you doesn't take care of him in a day or two, and he's got to stay here a little longer, and I think maybe the Good Samaritan probably have said this, you know me. I make this journey a good bit on my business travels. I'll be back. And if he has to stay here all whole week, you let me know what the cost is on the bill, and I'll pay it when I come back around. Folks, that's more than just picking them up. That's more than just lifting them up. That's bearing them along until they're on their own. Okay? That takes a lot of time. It might take some money. Are we willing to do that for other people? I'm done. The guys back there will tell you I don't have any more slides, do I? I'm going to just recap it, and I'm done. Folks, when you fall, get up. Don't let people keep you down. We are going to sin. We're not perfect individuals yet. I've not been sanctified all the way yet. And when I do, fall. Don't stay there. Confess your sin. Get back on your feet. Get back in the ministry. However, if things are going really well for you and you don't sin, somebody will knock you down. Don't let them knock you down and keep you down. Don't let them keep you down. You get back up. What's one of the best things that can be said about a boxer? It's not really that he never gets knocked down. It's that whenever you knock him down, he always what? Gets back up. Get up if somebody knocks you down. But if you're cruising along and soaring along in the Christian life right now, and you're doing well, get your eyes off yourself and look around to see who needs help right now. Who's down? Who's having trouble? Go lift them up, pick them up, but then bear them along until they're able to continue on their own for Jesus Christ again. Father, I pray that you might be with us here. Lord, there's some of us that are going to sin, all of us. Lord, help us not to end our Christianity, our ministry. Help us not to think, what's the use? I can't do this. Lord, we all go make mistakes, just like men in the Bible. Lord, I pray you would help us to turn to thee for the help we need. But Lord, I pray that if things are going well and we're not falling on our own, but somebody else knocks us down, we won't let them keep us down. Lord, that we'll get back in fellowship with you, and if we wait upon the Lord, we'll renew our strength. Mount up with wings as eagles, we'll run and not be weary, we'll walk and not faint. Lord, if we're not down right now, we're doing really well, help us to look around. Find and help those who need it. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.